It's great to be here to speak directly to the woke mob.
The liberals have basically made up this whole agenda that guacamole is made of avocados. It's not the truth.
Ticked off, tee off. This is it.
Scobody boo boo. Scobody dog.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Well, this feels a little like deja vu, because I feel like we asked this question a week ago on a more national scale, but on a Wisconsin-level scale, who won? If you want to frame it that way, who won the shared revenue negotiations? Because yesterday afternoon, it was announced that Governor Tony Evers and Republican leaders have come to a tentative deal to keep Milwaukee from entering a fiscal crisis. Historic numbers for shared revenue for municipalities.
Yes.
There's parts of this that have to do with education. Compromises across the board. And so, for anyone who we're going to get into more of the details and some of the takeaways. The whole deal has not been actually introduced yet, or you can't read what is going to be written on paper. But as far as what has been released, as far as details from both Lemieux, Voss, Evers, we know kind of the high level of what's involved in this. And so if you already know and you already have an opinion, 844-967-2789, who do you think got the most out of this deal? Otherwise, listen to what I'm going to highlight and then give us a call or a text. That's 844-96-PARTY. Jane Matinair, how much have you read about this so far?
I have not read in depth.
Okay.
But just the fact that they actually came to an agreement, considering, what was it, just a couple of days ago, Robin Voss said, yeah, well, we're just going to strip all the Milwaukee stuff out of the budget and then go on.
That was yesterday. That was where we started the show yesterday. We spent the entire hour yesterday talking about...
Oh, yeah, Robin.
Voss and Milwaukee and investing in Milwaukee versus letting them figure it out. And that was just yesterday, because Wednesday afternoon was when it seemed like, oh, this looks bad.
Yes.
And then driving home, I think it was yesterday, maybe it was right after I got home yesterday, when it was announced that they seemed like they came to a deal. And
I can't believe that was only yesterday.
And I, you know, I think my same take is kind of how I felt about the debt ceiling is... this is what divided government looks like. And am I annoyed that there are still strings attached and the party of local government is still trying to be overlords of what individual local governments can do with their finances? Yes. But it seems like it was a good deal. And I've seen some people on Twitter going back and forth saying, you know, you can't say compromises or like don't paint compromises as a win. And I don't know why.
That didn't used to be the case. You know, compromise, the word compromise in the last 15 years has become such a dirty word. And I don't understand.
I don't understand either.
I mean, of course, we wanted everything that we wanted, and the other side wanted everything that they wanted. And as you pointed out, in divided government, you don't all get what you want. And is it a huge win for the Democrats? I don't know if it's a huge win, but I think the loss is bigger for the Republicans, especially because they were the ones taking the attitude of, yep, well, then we're just going to strip it all out, and we're going to take it all away and take our ball and go home. And must have felt pressured not to do that.
That's, and truly, because that was kind of, there was speculation, right? There was speculation that, are there poison pills in this on purpose? Are there these strings attached and stipulations, and if Milwaukee's going to do this, it has to look exactly like this. Otherwise, we just won't do it. And we just won't include it. And the fact that they, I look at this bill and across the board, the things that it touches, so school, municipalities, Milwaukee, are better than without the bill.
Oh, yes.
Right? Like yes. Everything is going to be a little bit better. Now, let's go through, again, we're talking about, get in your opinion, who won in the shared revenue tentative deal that has been announced yesterday. Details have yet to come out, but they're voting on it on Wednesday, so we'll get the details for it soon. Who gave in more? Who got more? 844-967-2789. But let's go through what we know so far about the deal.
Okay.
So the big one, at least from Milwaukee, the big one is there's not going to be a sales tax referendum for Milwaukee County or city. And so that was kind of the big contention and sticking point was if Milwaukee is going to Milwaukee City or Milwaukee County is going to raise sales tax, which is a regressive tax, should voters not be able to vote on that directly? But the concern was the time, if we were to do a, first of all, to do a special election in the fall with money that we don't have,
yes,
because special elections are expensive, or wait till like next spring, which is, time is money right now,
yep,
for Milwaukee.
This has got to get funded.
And the informational campaign that would have been needed to inform people enough on why this is in their best interest as far as being Milwaukeeans, there was a lot of concern that that was not the best route. So now it is going to go to city and county leaders, and they will vote, and they have to have a 2/3 majority vote on the Milwaukee Common Council and the Milwaukee County Board. And the county can raise its current sales tax to 0.9%, and that's a 0.4 increase, which is a little bit larger than what was in the original version of the deal. And then the city could pass a 2% tax. And so I think this is where current leadership in Milwaukee had really shifted to. For years, like years ago-ish, 2, 3, 4, 5 years ago, doing a direct vote was the preference of past leaders.
Yes.
But this has shifted. And so this seems like a win because honestly, and if like voters don't like it, you can also like vote out your alderman or vote out your court, your county supervisor. And I think that's kind of the expectation that there still can be accountability if voters don't want this. But to expedite the process, it'll be easier to do it with Common Council and county, the county board, which is a good thing.
Absolutely. 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY if you want to call and or text. Who got the better end of the deal in the budgets from the 262? I'm not sure who won, but I can tell you who lost: public schools. Much lower reimbursement rate per pupil than voucher schools. Special ed took a huge cut. I don't know how anyone who has kids in public schools can tolerate things that are happening here.
Well, they didn't get a cut. They just only got a 2% increase.
Okay.
So the tentative deal for schools, it does meet Evers' goal to cover 2/3 of school districts' costs. And so it provides $30 million over 2 years for school-based mental health services. It sets aside $50 million for literacy programs, and it will reimburse 1/3 of the school district's special education costs. And so I think it goes from 31 to 33%, which is not...
And that's been underfunded for a long time anyway.
Yeah. And so, but the big, and I would say this is the part, especially in light of what we talked about last week, which is the religious schools that take vouchers that are not held to the same standards as far as protecting all students. But I have a feeling that this was the big give.
That was where the capitulation came.
I have to feel like this has to be the big give. Because taxpayer funded payments to private voucher schools is going to increase to $9,500 for K-8 students, which is an $1,100 increase, and $12,000 for a high schooler, which is about a $3,000 increase. Public charter school vouchers would also increase to $11,000. So when I read through the initial details of what has included, this feels like, because in Evers' original proposal, there was no increase. I think there's not only no increase, but also no new vouchers.
Oh.
I think if I remember that correctly, which I knew was never going to pass. But this, when I read through everything of the gives and gets, that feels like a big give on Evers' part and a big get for the Republicans who love the voucher program. And the other big give and get, and I, is that the funding for Milwaukee comes still comes with strings. So the sales tax must be used for addressing the city's pension debt, funding police and fire and emergency services, and it cannot, of course.
Boy, they hate that trolley, don't they?
God, they hate that trolley.
Oh, man, we hate the trolley.
And it's just like, it's so, like, I don't even, I'm not going to get into it. Because the trolley is its whole thing. But yes, some of the strings attached is they cannot spend any of this money from the sales tax on the streetcar. And it also requires a soft close on the pension plan, which means city employees who are hired after the pension plan closes will now be enrolled into the Wisconsin retirement system.
Okay.
Which is probably good. But, and I think the only... the other thing is that there will be police in schools.
844-967-2789. Who got the better deal? 844-96-PARTY. Real quickly, 262 says, any deal is a win for cities in Wisconsin.
Absolutely. All right. Well, there's a couple more highlights from the deal that I want to go over, but we would love to hear from you on your reactions to this, no matter where you live, because there are certainly parts of this that also affect every municipality in the state, because you're getting more money than you originally thought. So I think mayors across the state right now are pretty happy. So we would love to hear from you. 844-96-PARTY. How do you feel about the shared revenue deal? This is As Goes Wisconsin. Good choice of music.
Oh, thank you.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She's Jane Matinere. And we are talking about our own. I feel like a week ago we were talking about the debt ceiling and the negotiations. I guess we're still technically talking about it because there's a Freedom Caucus meltdown happening.
Well, they all went home.
I know.
For their 100, you know, I just want to throw this in real quickly. For the people who say no one wants to work anymore, that's hilarious coming from them. It really is. Please.
But our own kind of tight wire, high wire?
Tight wire.
You know, what's going to happen for those of us who were watching closely in our state budget and with shared revenue. It seems like we came to a deal yesterday that, I don't know, call me a moderate. There's a lot of people who would not call me a moderate, but I am pleased with it because I think across the board, it's better than where we were. I think there's not as much of gains for public schools as I would have liked to seen and a lot of people would have liked to seen. The strings attached for Milwaukee are annoying, but better this than no deal at all. Or I just feel like it could have been worse for a lot of these different issues.
I agree with you.
And so we are asking you, who do you think won the shared revenue negotiation? Do we have a call?
We do. 844-967-2789. 844-96-PARTY. Dave from Mequon checking in. Hey, Dave, what do you think?
You know, I actually think both sides got, you know, some of what they wanted. Obviously, some things they didn't get. Overall, I think the state of Wisconsin in general, especially, communities throughout the state. I mean, Milwaukee is going to get a 10% increase from the state in the funding in addition to the sales tax money, along with Milwaukee County. And everybody outside of that, I think, is what, around 20%, which is significant. That's a pretty good chunk of change that's being thrown out there.
Absolutely.
That being said, I went to urban planning up in Minnesota, and one of the things that I'm frustrated with this trolley situation, and the reason why there's a lot of pushback, especially on the GOP side, originally that was supposed to be just free for the first year, where there wasn't going to be any charge to any passengers to actually use that. But here we are in 2023, and there's still no fare boxes in the trolleys. It's a money loser because they're not charging. They removed a huge amount of parking spaces throughout downtown. So you have the revenue decline in that. And then in addition to everything else, there's maintenance. And then Pottawatomie, pulled the funding from it because mm-hmm. they're realizing that, you know, the pandemic obviously had something to do with that. But when you're talking about, 1,000 riders a day, at the bare minimum, the city, if they were to charge $1, that would certainly cover a good chunk of some of the operating costs, but they'd still be losing. But by not doing anything, the city is losing, I think, from what I understand, $5 million a year, $6 million a year.
Yeah, I don't know the number off the top of my head. But and I agree with you, Dave. Like, I think there's something to be said as far as if Pottawatomie was ever going to sponsor it, make efforts to have it go to Pottawatomie so people aren't drinking and driving to and from Pottawatomie, or have it go to AmFam Field. Like, it's a lot more track to lay. But as far as plans of, like, how is this actually moving people versus kind of this
circle?
The only time I've really rode the hop was for my bachelorette party. We did a hop bar crawl. And so I hear your concerns with it. But overall, because we got to let you go, but you think it was a compromise, and that there's everyone kind of got some stuff they wanted, and so overall, move forward.
Yes, the only thing I will say is this:
we're coming up against the clock, so we're going to cut you loose. Okay.
But thank you so much for the call, Dave.
844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. John from the Falls, texting in. So the Republicans got a massive increase in funding for private and parochial schools. Public schools didn't get anything close to what they need. There's still a massive state tax surplus, which is not being directed to programs which desperately need it. Milwaukee got some financial relief by being allowed to raise tax rates, which constituents are going to blame on the Democratic politicians in future elections. Republicans showed they can get what they want by holding hostage the services people in Wisconsin desperately need. I would say they were the clear winners.
Yeah.
Those are good points.
Those are good points. And I think for me, I feel like it could have been worse. Like, I see some of the, we talked about this last week. I made my video for Journal Sentinel yesterday, this week, on like just something as stupid as the UW engineering building that they're cutting from their capital buildings projects
budget.
Which
is mind-blowing.
Which is like the WMC, your bedfellows, were like, hey, fund this project. And you're like, no, and gave no good reason. And so there's certain things that they're cutting and that are outside of the shared revenue bill that just like boggles the mind, that there's part of me that feels like this could have been worse. That's probably not a great way to think about it. So objectively, I agree with John that, like, in the world of what the people want and have said that they want, maybe the Republicans got a little bit more. But again, maybe I'm just being optimist because I feel like it could have been way worse. All right. Well, when we come back, Mike Crute's going to be here.
I know. I'm
excited. We're
going to
talk about some of the best, the worst, and the weirdest headlines from this week. Stick around. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
The art of the compromise.
Hold your nose and close your eyes.
Yes, you want our leaders to save the day.
We don't get a say in what they trade away.
We dream of a brand new start.
But we dream in the dark for the most part.
To As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere. And one of the new things that we wanted to start doing on Fridays is welcoming some of our other civic media hosts onto the show to do some recaps of the week of the best, the worst, and the weirdest. And then stick around to do our headline quiz at the end of the first hour. And so who better to kick off this new segment of crossovers, cross promotion, then president of civic media and host of the Devil's Advocates radio show, arguably the best radio show ever.
Is that what they say? I have heard
it. Is that the tagline?
The best radio show ever, yes.
Michael Crute, how you doing?
I'm excellent. Good morning, Kristen. Good morning, Jane. Thanks for having me on Ask Goes Wisconsin.
I think this might be the first, you've called in before, but this might be the first time we've actually had you planned on the show.
The first time I came invited this time.
You came invited this time. Exactly.
You are always welcome, Mike. You know that.
Well, let's just get into it because we only got 15 minutes and I feel like there's probably a lot to discuss. I have a feeling I know your answer to this question, but for you, what was the best headline this week?
pardon me. The best headline is probably that, and I'm going to surprise you here, that Mike Gallagher is not making a U.S. Senate run because I think that all but assures Tammy Baldwin re-election. I think that Mike Gallagher was the only candidate that I really had any concern about whatsoever. I mean, Tom Tiffany or any of these other backbenchers the Republicans are going to roll out at their convention next weekend in La Crosse, they're all going to lose by double-digit margins to Tammy Baldwin. And the only one that had a fighting chance was Mike Gallagher, and he said no go. So maybe surprisingly, I saw that headline this morning, and I think that might be the best headline, at least from Wisconsin's point of view, for the week.
I saw that this morning, too, and I didn't get to read the article. Did he just say that he's too enthusiastic? Like, what was his reasoning? Was it about China and you don't care.
when he tells the press, you know, he's got this very important role on this China subcommittee. He's got a gavel, so you know he's doing important work for the people in the House. That's what he's. And of course, you know, he's got family considerations. That's what they tell you. But here's what I would point out: the irony of the timing. The morning after Donald Trump is indicted, he decides he doesn't want to get on the ticket for 2024.
Yeah.
Coincidence? I think not.
That's a really good point, Crute. It really is. The other thing I was thinking is he put out a plea when the Capitol was being attacked on January 6th, telling Trump to call them off. And at that point, I thought, wow, the guy's actually got a spine. And within 3 days, again, he was a jellyfish. And I think,
well, and of course,
he doesn't want to have to
account for that
and be questioned about that.
Well, in a congressional role, I mean, I don't know if you guys recall, but last time through, Mike Gallagher didn't even have a Democratic opponent for his congressional seat. You know, I love that Ben Wickler makes it rain all kinds of money from the West Coast and the East Coast, wherever he's pulling all this donor cash out of. But what is been disappointing to me is I still think you got to fight every battle in every trench in every district, be it congressional, be it, you know, all the way up and down the ballot, because the failure to recruit a candidate in the 8th CD against Mike Gallagher and CD number 6 against Glenn Grothman, I mean, that's a crime. That is a crime that the Democratic Party can't find a local business person, a state legislator, somebody that can at least go out there and draw interest down ballots and give people a reason to go out and vote. The fact that Green Bay, a college town, a metropolitan, the third largest metropolitan, the second largest media market in the state of Wisconsin behind Milwaukee, and it's red, that is crazy to me. And it's red because we aren't even contesting Green Bay. And if you look, we got a nice Democratic mayor in Eric Gingrich, but we don't even run a Democrat for U.S. Congress in Green Bay, Wisconsin. We're going to cede Green Bay to the red team. That I hope will change. The Democratic convention is tomorrow in Green Bay. And ironically, I'll be there.
That's not that ironic. I feel like this is one of your favorite weekends of the year, Crudy.
Well, you know, the only sad part, and sad from me and Dominic's point of view, from the devil's advocate's point of view, we have had some of the greatest shows we've ever done from the from the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, the DPW convention. And specifically in 2014, we were on the air talking with Democratic Party chair at that time, Mike Tate, who had been with Fair Wisconsin in 2006 when there was a constitutional referendum passed in Wisconsin that basically said there would never be gay marriage in Wisconsin.
I remember
that. In a vote of the people. And Barb Crabb, the federal judge, ruled, effectively opened up the door for same-sex marriage that Friday night about 5 o'clock when we were on the air. Mike Tate cried on the air. I mean, this guy was emotional. It was the beginning, I think. It was the beginning of something really great, which was the Democratic Party would feature their Friday night. We would get all their luminaries. We would put them on the air. And my only complaint now is with the Saturday, Sunday, I mean, people want to unplug from the politics on the weekend. And all the people that are already part of the party, they're at the party. So those that could be exposed, just, you know, curious, could learn about the platform, they will not learn about the platform because we will have no live broadcast because people are doing their summer stuff on the weekends. They got to do it on Friday night next year. I put it in the comments box. Like,
complaints. It's an election. Room for improvement. That's a true, good point. Like, otherwise I would have gone up, but I have an engagement party. I have a wedding. I have an event on Sunday. So it's like, I can't. But we are talking to Mike Crute, host of the Devil's Advocates, which you can always hear across the Civic Media Network from 4 to 6 p.m. All right, let's move on to what was the worst headline of the week, Crudy?
Well, I'm gonna make the worst headline of the week right now. I'm gonna break some news to both you and Jane. Next Friday night, Saturday and Sunday morning, the Republican Party of Wisconsin are hosting their convention in God's country in La Crosse, Wisconsin. Civic Media's got a shiny new radio station, 1490 AM, The Eagle. We're on the air now in La Crosse, and Civic Media wanted to be there to greet the Republican Party at their convention. In fact, we wrote a fat check to go broadcast from their lobby to be exhibitors at the Republican Party convention in La Crosse. And they mailed our check back with a deep explanation of why Civic Media, a statewide, the largest news organization in the state of Wisconsin, is not welcome at the Republican Party convention, where I am an esteemed alumni of the fine university, and I would have certainly come up there and made it one hell of a fun broadcast, because they are doing a Friday night. They just don't want us.
They just don't want us there.
So there's a little breaking news for you, for your team.
Did that just happen this morning?
I've known that information since since at least yesterday.
Oh, but wow.
First time we've said it publicly.
Does it surprise you?
Surprise me, the cowardice of the Republican Party, not at all at this late date. The cravenness of this party that would follow Donald Trump. And normally I don't take pot shots at the Republican Party, but I've always said, you know, if you bring me to your living room, I'm not going to disrespect your house. But if you make me stand in the yard, I may just have a few stones to cast through the windows. So the cravenness of a party that will still probably nominate the newly indicted Donald Trump as their nominee, this probably makes him stronger amongst his base. And of course, completely unelectable, I would think, in a general election. But they may literally have a nominee, you know, at the convention in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. The RNC convention will be in our backyard team. And their nominee may be wearing an ankle bracelet at the time. And I'd be very curious if he'll be able to travel to multi-jurisdictions and run for the presidency, even as soon as this summer. I mean, is the man a flight risk? Will he be at the debate in Milwaukee August 23rd? Inquiring minds want to know.
I just find it interesting that the Republican parties all over the country, and especially here in Wisconsin, have now taken on all of the terrible traits of Donald Trump. They're like human tofu. They've soaked up his thin-skinnedness, where they can't take a joke. They can't take any criticism.
They can't take questions.
They can't take questions. They can't face anybody. It's just remarkable.
I mean, and I want to keep this person very anonymous, but I had someone who had come on, a conservative, who had let me know that by coming on my show, they got feedback from some of their conservative friends and who just blatantly think conservatives should not talk to liberal media. And these are the same people who also think most media is liberal. So, like, how are you supposed to get your message out if everyone is the enemy? And how are you ever going to change more? And it's the same thing with us, right?
Yeah.
How do you change hearts and minds? How do you talk to people who maybe not agree with you if you're not willing to go on other people's turf and answer harder questions? What do you think, Crute?
I used to go on Fox News, and it got to be I was a fairly frequent contributor. Not of the paid variety, but of the sort, because there's not a lot of liberal talk show hosts in America. They would bring me on as the punching bag to stand for some Joe Biden policy. And I did that for 4 or 5 years. And it got to the point where it was every month, every 6 weeks. And it was actually a year ago this weekend, ironically, on my birthday, I was invited on Fox News. Second year in a row, I wasted a birthday weekend appearing on Fox News. And last year at this time, Fox News failed to provide live coverage of the January 6th primetime thing. And if you'll recall, they did Tucker Carlson sans commercials.
Yep.
So up until that point, I had been all down for, you know, doing the rounds and going on less friendly media, let's call it. But I burned the bridge that day. I swore I was profane on Fox News. I called BS on their failure to cover.
I remember that clip
live. And here's the great news. I got another birthday weekend, no invitation. I don't have to burn any brain cells going on Fox News this weekend.
Well, there you go. We're both Geminis. Is your birthday this weekend? Is the 10th?
It is. We got lots of birthdays this weekend.
And I'm the 18th.
Joel Clayfish from Asco's, Wisconsin, had a birthday last night.
You mean raised in Wisco?
Oh, raised in the Wisco. I'm sorry. You're Asco.
I'm Asco's, Wisconsin. You're Devil's Advocates. I'm Asco's, Wisconsin. How much time do we have?
We got 90 seconds.
90 seconds. All right. Mike Crute, do you want to play a quiz? You want to do a headline quiz when we come back after the break?
Sure.
All right. Well,
sure.
So we're going to do you versus Jane. I got the questions and the answers. There's going to be 7 questions, so there's a tiebreaker. Stick around. We are talking to host of the Devil's Advocates and president of Civic Media, Mike Crute. We're going to play a game when we come back. You can play along at home. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere. And our guest this half hour is Mike Crute, host of the Devil's Advocates and president of Civic Media, as our inaugural guest for our Friday 10:30 segment of welcoming other Civic Media hosts to our show. And one part of this segment is going to be playing a little headline quiz, since we're all in the news game. See what headlines we may have missed, or if we can get 100% on this quiz. So, Mike, since you are the guest, would you like to go first or second?
Ooh. Always go second.
Always go second. All right. So, Jane, you are up first.
Okay.
Which comedian sparked controversy by saying he felt duped by electric vehicles? Tim Allen, Ricky Gervais, John Mulaney, or Rowan Atkinson?
Wow.
You know who Rowan Atkinson
is,
right?
Yeah, I know all of them.
Mr. Bean?
Yeah.
People at home, maybe, who didn't know.
Yeah.
I recognize that face, but not necessarily his name.
I have a friend who thinks that Rowan Atkinson is the funniest man who's ever lived.
Really?
Yeah. What were the four?
Tim Allen, Ricky Gervais, John Mulaney, Rowan Atkinson.
I'll go Ricky Gervais just because I like him.
Unfortunately, it was Rowan Atkinson. Mr. Bean, very upset by his electric vehicle.
Oh, wow.
All right, Crute, you're up. Which network's CEO...
Okay, I'm glad I didn't catch that.
That's the thing. These headlines are not all politics, so sometimes you get a little caught up. So this one's pretty political. I think you'll get this one. Which network's CEO is leaving after just 13 months in the position? CNN, MSNBC, Fox News, C-SPAN.
A guy I used to like when he was the executive producer on the Colbert Show. Chris Light over at CNN, he is out.
He is out. That is correct.
And isn't it hard to square the fact, Crudy, that he was the executive producer for Stephen Colbert?
And he loves him. I actually watched that this morning of the clip from the Colbert show, the late show, where it was announced that he was taking over for CNN and how happy Stephen Colbert was for him. And they had this whole segment. And I was like, this feels like two different people than who's been in the news lately. And so, but we'll see who takes over next. All right. This is a Wisconsin question.
Okay.
Jane.
Yes.
Two former political opponents made a rare appearance in a joint plea. Who were they? Eric Toney and Josh Call?
That one.
You didn't get, let me read all
That's
of them.
Because I know it.
I was going to say, could you imagine, though, if Tim Michaels or Rebecca Clayfish were seen on stage together, or Ron Johnson and Mandela Barnes were seen on stage together?
Not going to happen.
Or Dan Kelly and Jennifer Doro. But yes, it was Eric Toney and Josh Call. After running against each other last fall, Democratic Attorney General Josh Call and Republican Fond du Lac County District Attorney Eric Toney joined forces Tuesday to call on state lawmakers to increase state budget funding for Wisconsin's crime evidence lab. So it is tied up 1-1. Crudy, you are next. Fill in the blank. A Utah school district is removing blank from its elementary and middle school libraries after a parent complained it was too violent and vulgar. A, Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets. B, The Giving Tree. C, Pride and Prejudice. D, the King James Bible.
Oh, the King James Bible.
You're correct. A Utah school district is removing the King James Bible.
And now they're actually talking.
You know, until you gave me that as an option, I had totally forgotten that headline. I would have probably gravitated towards Harry Potter, or perhaps even the inaugural speech of the young lady that gave Biden's inaugural speech.
Amanda Gorman.
One complaining parent. Yeah, I had that removed from, what, Florida libraries?
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Totally ridiculous.
But now, actually, there might be a movement in Utah to remove the Book of Mormon also from schools.
Which is wild. Which is that violent and vulgar?
It's, well, for one thing, it's almost impossible to read.
Have you tried to read it?
I had, yes.
Wow,
it's,
weird.
It's so, no.
Different story for a different day.
I am wearing my magic underpants right now.
They're for protection, Crudy. They protect.
All right, Jane. Soccer legend Lionel Messi turned down a reported $400 million a year offer from Saudi Arabia to join which U.S. team? Inter Miami CF, New York City FC, DC United, LA Galaxy.
Ooh. Miami.
It is indeed Miami.
All right.
Can you imagine turning down what would have been like $1.6 billion over like 3 or 4 years?
Yeah, but he's not struggling financially the way it is.
Oh, that's true. Crudy, would you ever turn down that much money?
Not again.
All right. So, Crudy, we'll do this last one with you. And then the last question, we'll see who can answer first.
Okay.
I guess it won't be a tiebreaker because I think you're still up one. But in a rare move, which royal testified in court this week against the British tabloids? Princess Anne, Prince Harry, Prince Andrew, Meghan Markle.
Oh, is that my question?
That is Prince your question. Harry? You want me to read it again?
No, it was Prince Harry, correct?
It was Prince Harry. All right. We're at the last question.
Okay.
It's another Wisconsin question, and we'll do this is for both of you, and whoever answers.
Oh, jump ball, Jane.
Jump ball.
Dunk on you.
Okay.
What vaccine requirement did Wisconsin Republicans block this week?
Meningitis.
Boom.
Ding 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 ding. I didn't know you were supposed to yell out the word.
Well, that's fair. You would have gotten that one too. I think. Can we call it a tie?
She got it quicker.
But
well, that's very gracious of
this
you,
is the first time we've done that this format. So now the other hosts will know how to play. But Crudy, you did very well. Which one would you have not known that Jane didn't know? The first one?
The Mr. Bean one and the electric cars. I would have known it wasn't Tim Allen. And otherwise, I'd have probably gone Ricky Gervais too.
Absolutely.
Had a Tesla and then didn't like some aspect of it.
Well, you and I can share this completely useless title, Mike.
For this week.
in all its nothingness glory.
All right. Well, make sure to listen and tune in to Devil's Advocates at 4 o'clock anywhere you listen to civic media, any station across the entire state of Wisconsin. Crudy, this was so fun to have you on the show.
Well, thank you so much. I'll come back the next time I'm invited.
Or even when you're not invited.
Maybe before.
Just photobomb yourself in here. But Mike Crute, thank you so much. Have a great show later today. Have fun at the DPW convention this weekend. Can't wait to hear how that goes. And appreciate you, man.
All right. Be well, guys.
All right. Well, we are going to take a break for the top of the hour news. When we come back, Sherry Tesler from Hunger Task Force is back to give us an update on what's going on with hunger across Wisconsin. This is As Goes Wisconsin.